بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وذروا ظاهر الإثم وباطنه صدق الله العظيم. Most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, last week we discussed the importance of the aspect of jahi guna and bahi guna. We discussed jahi guna, jah to do with fame. A person desires to become big, to be known by people. He wants prominence, he wants glory, he wants everybody's attention to be focused to him alone. So he wants to be known in the public. And they mention, it is as though he is in love with himself. So he desires that his name be prominent everywhere and everybody must just make wah wah to him. So this is jah, fame. The other one is bah, which means a person fulfills his carnal desires in a haram way. He is overwhelmed by his passions, his desires. He is unable to curb his passions and desires. So this is bah. Both these aspects are such that a person requires to make ilaj of it. Otherwise, his tazkiyah will not take place. And if his tazkiyah does not take place, he will not be obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fully. So, very similar to this, as Mufti Taqi Sahib has mentioned, batin se mutalliq lazim ahkam. Jis tarah hamari zahiri zindagi se mutalliq kuch ahkam hai, ہم پر لازم کیا ہے مثلا نماز روزہ وغیرہ, اسی طرح ہمارے باطن سے متعلق میں بھی کچھ احکام اللہ تعالیٰ نے عائد فرمائی ہے. So it says just as we have external actions which Allah has made compulsory upon us, things that we do with the limbs, for example salat and hajj etc. So these are احکامات, laws that govern our external. Like that, we have laws that govern our internal, our batin. For example, we have to inculcate in ourselves ikhlas, and we mentioned this last week as well. A person has to have sincerity. Now sincerity is not found by the hand or by the external of the person, not by the limb. Ikhlas, sincerity pertains or has to do with the heart. So he has to bring this ikhlas in his heart. Then like that, we have to have the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to gain the muhabbat of Allah, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This also has to do with the heart. So these are all batin. So we have zahir and batin. External and internal. External, salat, etc., what you're doing with your limbs. And internal, these are the qualities that we have to inculcate. So they are good qualities. And we mentioned previously, these are called faza'il. Faza'il are good qualities that we have to bring in ourselves. We have to bring those good qualities in our heart. Like that, we have things that we should not bring in our heart, like hasad, jealousy, pride, arrogance, kina, buz, adawat, enmity. All these are things that we should not bring into our heart. This is called raza'il. Razila, raza'il. So faza'il are the good qualities we're supposed to bring in our heart, like ikhlas, muhabbat of Allah, tawakkul, sabr, shukr, etc. And raza'il are the evil qualities. Anger, pride, jealousy. These are the things that we should take out of our heart. So we have zahir, batin se mutalliq lazim ahkam, and batin se mutalliq haram kam. So these are the things that our batin should abstain from. Now all these things to get our zahir, to get our batin right, and especially our batin, it can only happen, Mufti Sahib says, ye cheeze tarbiyat ke zariye hasil hoti. It only can be accomplished through tarbiyah. What is tarbiyah? We nurture ourselves. We go through a spiritual nurturing. And this is the whole thing that he says. This is called tazkiyah. He says, ye cheeze mahas kitabe par lene se hasil nahi hoti. Mahas taqreere sun lene se hasil nahi hoti. Just by reading a book on the batin, for example, on pride or jealousy, a person is not going to be nurturing his spiritual self. Just by listening to a talk, you are not actually going through the spiritual nurturing process. You're hearing it. It may create some type of desire in your heart that I must get it. But the only way you can get it is that you have to go through the spiritual training. So he said, بلکہ اس کے لئے تربیت کی ضرورت ہوتی ہے. Person has to have تربیہ. The word تربیہ in Arabic, ربا يربی, to nurture, to bring from nothing until you progress the person into something and you make something out of him. So, حضرت مفتی صاحب says, ان میں سے ایک مقصد یہ تھا کہ آپ لوگ کی اخلاق کو پاکیزہ بنائے اور ان دلوں سے بد اخلاقی گندگیاں دور فرمائیں. So what is it? What is tazkiyah? What is tasawuf all about? Is to bring about pakiza akhlaq, pure good character, noble traits, noble qualities into our heart, and the gandagi. Gandagi is the filth. The filth we have to remove from our hearts. This is tasawuf. He said, this is what he called tasawuf. Just like we have fiqh or fiqah. Fiqah is to do with our salat, zakat, hajj, ahkamat. Like that we have the fiqh of the nafs, and that is called tasawuf. It's called ilm tasawuf. And there isn't a difference that shariat is separate and tasawuf is separate. No. Tasawuf is part of shariat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Quran to make tazkiyah of our hearts. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam implemented and showed the sahaba. Practically, he demonstrated tazkiyah. And sahaba radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in also, they took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the model. And they followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, جبکہ تصوف کا اصل تصور اخلاق کی اصلاح اور باطنی اعمال کی اصلاح تھا, اس کے لئے ضروری تھا کہ کوئی شخص کی متبع سنت, صحیح علم رکھنے والے, صحیح عقیدے رکھنے والے شخص کو اپنا مقتدہ بنائے. Now, for a person to gain this تربیہ, he has to find the correct person who is following the sunnah, he has the correct knowledge, he has the correct عقیدہ and beliefs, then you can make him your guide. Otherwise, the person who has not got the correct aqidah, he's not following the sunnat, he doesn't have knowledge, he's an ignorant person, you cannot make him your guide. Sahaba radiallahu anhu made Rasulullah the guide. He was the leader of the ummah, and they followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the murabbi, he was the spiritual nurturer. And Rasulullah sallallahu had mentioned, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have been sent to complete and polish good and noble qualities and traits and characteristics. So the akhlaq that sahaba then developed in themselves was through the tarbiyat of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they handed themselves over to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And aap to Rasulullah sahaba ikram ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in ne apne aap ko Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki hawale kar diya tha. They actually gave themselves over to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they didn't ask why and when and who and what. Hamara dil cha raha ho ya na cha raha ho, hamari aqal mein baat aa rahi ho ya na aa rahi, they didn't say whether it appeals to our intelligence or not, whether we desire it or not, whatever it was. Lekin aap jo kuch farmayenge, hum uski mutabik amal karenge. Whatever Rasulullah is going to instruct or instructs us, we immediately will carry it out. The result of this was, اس کے نتیجے میں اللہ تعالیٰ نے صحابہ کرام کی اخلاق کو ایسا مجلہ اور مصفہ فرما دیا کہ اس روئی زمین پر اور اس آسمان کے نیچے ایسے بہترین اخلاق والی انسان کے بعد پیدا نہیں ہوئے. رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم made the تربیت of the صحابہ. They didn't question رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم with regard to any instruction. They followed رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم properly, completely, fully. The result was that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in developed such a character that on the surface of the earth and beneath the sky you will never find any nation who was so pure like the Sahaba and who developed such an excellent akhlaq like the Sahaba. Nobody will find like that. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, when they developed the akhlaq, now they were conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never became ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never became unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A slight movement away, immediately they'll make tawbah, istighfar, and back onto track. And they would feel that nadamat and pain. Small mistake, but your sahaba would cry, and sahabi would cry and cry and cry, as though he committed a very big sin. It was something small he did, but he would become so conscious of this,
And immediately he would rectify himself. So they had this concern all the time. Ki hum sahi raaste se batak na jaye. That we must not go away and go astray from the straight path. We find the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam given Umar al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala and of course the Sahaba Bishara. Bishara means glad tidings. Abu Bakr in fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, like that, the Ashara Mubashara. There were several occasions when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave specifically Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala glad tidings of Jannah. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala, regarding him, it is mentioned that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned, لو كان بعدي نبي لكان عمر. If there had to be any Nabi after me, then it would be Umar. Of course, there's no Nabi after Nabi Kareem. So he's Khatamul Nabiyin, Khatamul Anbiya al Mursaleen. He is a seal of Prophet. But he said, if there had to be a Nabi, it would have been Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Now imagine, this is his caliber. Despite that, we find, okay, another virtue of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when Nabi Kareem went for Mi'raj, then in Jannat he saw a very beautiful palace. Ek bohat shandar mahal dekha. And Nabi Kareem asked, whose palace is this? It was said, this is Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala's palace. It's a lengthy incident. But imagine, Umar radiallahu ta'ala has been told by Rasul that I saw your palace in Jannah. Despite all this, look at the khawf, the fear Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala has, that he would go to Hudhaifa radiallahu ta'ala and ask him, tell me, is my name there in the list of munafiqeen that Rasulullah gave to you? Nabi Kareem had given Hudhaifa radiallahu ta'ala one list with the names of the munafiqeen of that time. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala was always worried that his name must not be amongst the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, despite being given glad tidings by Rasulullah sallam that Umar fil Jannah, and I saw the palace of Umar in Jannah. Despite all this, this was the khawf he had. Umar radiallahu ta'ala is an incident in that ek martaba Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala masjid Nabi sallam mein tashreef laye. Us waqt barish ho rahi thi. He enters the masjid, it was raining. Aapne dekha ki kisi shakhs ki ghar ke parnali se Masjid Nabawi ke sahan mein pani gir raha hai. So he sees from one of the people's homes, obviously not like today, in those days Sahaba's home were around the Masjid of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, they were adjacent to it. So he sees there's a drain pipe coming out from one of the Sahabi's homes, and the water is coming from the drain pipe into the Masjid of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aapne farmaya, ki ghar ke parnali se masjid ke andar pani nahi girna chahiye. This shouldn't be the case, that from somebody's drain pipe, the dirty water is coming into the masjid of Nabi sallam, or the water is flowing inside here. Isliye ki masjid is kaam ke liye nahi hai. Masjid hasn't been built for this. Ke log uske andar apne ghar ke parnali giraya kare. Aapne pucha, kiska ghar hai? He asked, whose house is this? Logon ne bataya, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. It is the Abbas radiallahu's house, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar radiallahu ta'ala farmaya, ghalat baat hai, it's incorrect, he shouldn't be doing such a thing. Masjid does not belong to him. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala went and he broke this drain pipe. He cut it off. Uske baad Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala tashreef laaye. After some time, Abbas radiallahu ta'ala comes. Aur pucha ki Amir Mu'mineen, aapne ye parnala kyun tora? Why did you break this drain pipe? Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, this is Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's waqaf. It doesn't belong to me or you. And this is this drain pipe and the water is coming there. Uska masjid mein girna ka kya sawal paida hota hai? Ye parnala lagana jaiz nahi hai. He said, you shouldn't be putting this drain pipe like that. Therefore, I broke it. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala ne farmaya, Amir Mu'mineen, aapko malum nahi hai ki ye parnala maine Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki ijazat se lagaya tha. Oh Amir Mu'mineen, don't you know that I put this drain pipe after seeking permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Huzur Akhtar sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki ijazat se lagaye hue parnale ko aapne tod diya. Nabi Akram sahab had given me permission, and after he gave me permission, regarding what he gave me permission, you go and break that down. Ye sunkar Hazrat Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala سناٹے میں آ گئے. عمر رضی اللہ عنہ بکیم سائلنس اور پوچھا اے عباس کیا واقعی حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے اجازت دی تھی؟ ریئلی دی نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم گیو اجازت؟ حضرت عمر رضی اللہ عنہ نے فرمایا کہ حضور اقدس صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے اجازت دی تھی. عباس رضی اللہ عنہ said that yes, نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم gave me اجازت. Then حضرت عمر رضی اللہ عنہ then tells him, he come before him and he says, for Allah's sake, خدا کے لیے یہ کرو, do this one thing for me, کہ میں ابھی یہاں جھک کر کھڑا ہوتا ہوں, I'm going to bend down now and I want you to put your foot on my back and put this pipe, drain pipe back in its place. I will bend down and I want you to stand on me, on my back, and just put this thing right again. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu farmaya, to Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu said, no. Just aap rehne de, aap ne ijazat de di, you've given me permission now, so don't worry, I'll sort it out later. Umar radiallahu anhu said, us waqt tak chain nahi aayenge, aayega, I will not get that peace. I won't be, I will always be restless until you don't stand on my back and you put this drain pipe right again. So therefore Umar radiallahu anhu then bent, Abbas radiallahu anhu then goes on top of him and he puts the drain pipe right. So this asks, aisa kyu kiya? Why did Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu do so? یہ اس لیے کیا تھا کہ دل میں یہ خیال نہ آ جائے کہ اب میں حاکم بن گیا ہوں اور میرا حکم چلتا ہے. He says, why did he force Abbas رضی اللہ عنہ to stand on his back and put the drain pipe right again? He says, because it must not come in my heart that I am Amir al-Mu'mineen now. I'm the ruler now. And whatever I say goes and everybody has to listen to me. اس لیے عمل کے ذریعے سے اس خیال کو ختم فرمایا. And by doing this now, by lowering himself, by showing this humility, so this thought that could have come into his heart would now stop, because now he is showing humility. اپنے نفس کی اصلاح فرمائی. What did he do? He made اصلاح of himself. بہرحال ہر لمحہ ان کو اس بات کی فکر تھی کہ ہمارے اخلاق درست ہو. So all the time he was worried that my akhlaq must be right, my Islam must take place, I must not go astray, I must not do something that's going to hurt some person, I must bring pakiza akhlaq in myself, the raza'il, the filthy qualities must come out of my heart, and in my heart must only be faza'il, good qualities. Like this Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, or nafski islah, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, was a very great sahabi. We know so many ahadith he quoted of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam day and night. In the last, he spent at least almost 4 years in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the time he accepted Islam till Rasulullah's demise. Only 4 years he spent, but he clung onto Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wherever Rasulullah went, he always went with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know his maqam, his position. See, once he was made the governor of Bahrain, and it was seen that every day, he would carry a bundle of wood on his head and go right into the bazaar and he would sell this firewood. He would sell this wood. Somebody asked, ye kaam kyun kar rahe hai? Why are you doing such a thing? They're taking his bundle of wood and going to the bazaar. Unhone farmaya ki mera nafs bara shareer hai. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radhiyallahu anhu saying that my nafs, a very evil person. Mujhe andesha rehta hai, I have this fear all the time, ki hakim banne ki wajah se, that I am the governor of Bahrain now, kahi mere dil mein takabur na jaye, that I must not get pride in my heart. See, a person gets authority, then pride can come into his heart. So what these people did, they did some menial jobs at times. They lowered themselves. He didn't say, I am hakim, I am the ruler, people must work for me. Himself, he takes his bundle of wood and he goes and he sells it. Like an ordinary laborer. لہذا میں اپنے نفس کو اپنی حقیقت بار بار دکھاتا رہتا ہوں کہ تیری حقیقت یہ ہے. It's all the time. I'm showing my nafs. What is your reality? This is your reality. The nafs has to be low. ہمارا حال, what's our condition? ہمارا حال یہ ہے کہ ہمیں کبھی یہ خیال بھی نہیں آتا ہے کہ ہمارے اندر کچھ خرابی ہے. Our condition is such that we don't even think, the thought doesn't cross us that we've got this weakness in us, that weakness in us, that fault, that defect, that deficiency, we don't even think. Ki ye burai, buraiya, aisi hai ki insaan ko khud pata nahi chalta hai. My man does not know himself. I've got these weaknesses, as I mentioned last week and previously also. You go to the doctor, you tell him the symptoms, and then you are diagnosed. You do not know from before what's your problem. You have to go through blood tests, sometimes x-ray and scan, whatever. And finally they give you a result. چنانچہ تکبر کرنے والے کو خود یہ معلوم نہیں ہوتا ہے کہ میں تکبر کر رہا ہوں. Person who has got pride, he doesn't know himself that I've got pride. تکبر کرنے والے سے اگر پوچھا جائے, if you ask somebody who's got pride, کہ تم تکبر کرتے ہو, that you have pride, کہے گا میں تو تکبر نہیں کرتا. Immediately say, no, I'm pride. No, never, I don't have pride. Understand? So the person himself does not know he's got pride. This is detected by somebody who has correct knowledge, who's got some experience. He's a mu'alij, like how we have a doctor, physical doctor, we have a spiritual doctor. Therefore, the Mufti Sahib says, kisi mu'alij ki zarurat hai. We require a spiritual doctor. And to find the spiritual doctor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen, or believers fi Allah and be with the sadiqeen. Sadiqeen, the truthful ones. So taqwa we have to gain, and we have to find this sadiqeen who will detect our sicknesses. And of course, as I mentioned previously also, we have to go to this person and tell him, you know, sometimes I do this, I do that. Is this correct? Is that correct? If I say like this, is it okay? Sometimes this thought comes to me, is that okay? So the person who knows, and he is the correct spiritual doctor, he said, no. So he said, that word that you said, that's a sign of pride. Well, this what you did, this is actually tantamount to jealousy. That what you did was perfectly permissible, there's nothing wrong in feeling like that, it's permissible, Sharia is given gunjaish. So all these things on our own is very difficult. Akhlaq-u pakiza banane ka aasan raasta. What is the easiest way to bring this good akhlaq in our lives? قرآن کریم کی اس حکم کے مطابق کسی اللہ والے سے جو علم صحیح رکھتا ہو اور عقیدہ صحیح رکھتا ہو اور بظاہر متبع سنت ہو اور خود اس نے اپنی اصلاح کسی بزرگ سے کرائی ہو اس سے رجوع کرنا. That a person goes to that person who has spent time with some pious person, some sheikh himself, he's outwardly following the sunnat of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, he's got true knowledge and he has a correct aqidah and beliefs, in such a person we have to go and ask him and make him our muslih, and he will guide us, he will correct us. He says, sometimes the thought comes to us, in this time, we can't find that right guide. Where's the Junaid Baghdadi? Where's the Abdul Qadir Jilani? Where's the Imam Ghazali? These people are gone, we can't find anybody now. So Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, this is the dhokha of shaitan. This is the deception of shaitan. Shaitan ka bahut bada dhoka hai. He says, when Quran is said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen, O believers, fear Allah and be with the sadiqeen, this is till qiyamah. This was not only pertaining to the time of Rasulullah SAW and Sahaba Ikram, right till the day of qiyamah. Then the Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, in today's time, sometimes you don't find the thing of a very high caliber and absolutely 100% pure. There's some mixture in it. It's not 100% pure. But still, you will try and find, where can I get the best product in town? I know everybody is selling it. Some people is fake. Some people is okay. Some people has a better quality. So we look for the best quality, the most superior quality. And we will search and we will check. Until we find the good quality. Like that, if a person makes justiju, he searches, and he is sincere, Allah Ta'ala will find him the right person. Allah Ta'ala will find him the right person who will make his Islam. But he has to be sincere, genuine. And he must be prepared to make the Islam. As I mentioned last week, we are not prepared to make our Islam. MashaAllah, we sit and listen to a talk, and that's the end of it. We go to the doctor, and they have some program, and they talk about a certain type of disease, or certain type of problem, whatever it is, and we listen to the talk. There is some awareness created, but the program we're not following, so we won't find our Islam taking place. Another Mufti Shafi Sahib also mentioned, he says, see, Junaid Baghdadi, Abdul Qadir Jilani, Imam Ghazali Rahmat, all the great, great giants of the time. The people also, the Muridin disciples also very great people. We want a Junaid Baghdadi, but ourselves, we are nothing compared to the disciple of that time. So he says, accordingly, Allah Ta'ala will give you a Muslih in this time. According to the time of people, the level of the people, according to that, Allah Ta'ala will put a person who will guide you. So therefore, we should never ever become deceived by shaitan that I've got no person to follow, I've got no guide. Whatever it is, find some person and Allah will guide you, and inshallah you start your spiritual tarbiyah, your spiritual nurturing, and then and only then we will be able to make qabu of our nafs and control our nafs. Otherwise our entire lives will only be in sin, ma'asiyat, dhunub, until we feel so miserable, our hearts become corroded, rusted, filthy, heavy, dark. We don't enjoy our ibadah, we don't enjoy any dhikr, we don't enjoy any bayan, in waaz, nasihat, we just move away, far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are going closer and closer to shaitan. We've heard so many times before, gunahgari mein kab tak umar kaatu, badal de mera dil badal de, oh Allah, change my heart, how long I'm going to spend my life in sins? There must be a time when we say enough is enough. There must be a time that we have to show some determination. We have to have this bold stand. Himmat, this is the key word. Himmat, the courage to refrain from sin. The courage to now, person is sick for so long, finally say, you know, now let me go to the doctor. So when you go to the doctor, now that's the first bold step you have taken. The second bold step that you have to do is that now listen and follow exactly what the doctor's instruction is, whether it appeals to you, whether the medicine is bitter. You find in the past, the way some of the time the Islah used to take place, you and I will never be able to do that Islah. Dr. Tanweer Ahmad, Rahmatullah Ali, he used to come here. And he mentioned, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah was his sheikh. At one stage, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali had told him to go and clean the wuzu khana. Not like our kind wuzu khana, so fancy and tiles and all. In India, in those, that time, we can see the mucus of the person and the saliva and whatever it is. He must go clean the pipes and clean the wuzu khana. All this why? To take out any pride that he may have had. Take out that ujab and vanity. After all that, after some time, then Hazrat Thani said, okay, now you put all the shoes right. All the big musallis coming outside, you stand there. And he put each person's shoes, set them correctly in a line. So this was what they did. And therefore they reached such status, such heights. One person had pride. The Tani Rama gave him first to clean the toilets. The pride didn't go. Why? Because as he's cleaning the toilet, he's feeling, I'm so great. Me, I'm cleaning the toilets. So that ilaj didn't work with him. The Tani Rama told him, now wash, clean the wuzu khana. That too didn't work. Put the shoes right, that didn't work. Until finally Hazrat Thani Ramad, Hakimul Ummati was. He tells him, after Farz Salat, you stand up. In front of the entire congregation. You see, my respected brothers, I've got a lot of pride in me. Make dua to Allah, Allah removes this pride from me. Barely one namaz finished and the pride was gone. May Allah give me the ability to make my tazkiyah and islah, give all of us. This is a very serious thing. Life will just pass away. Time is against us. We can see the things that are happening in the entire world. It's very, very frightening. When Dajjal appear, we do not know. Islah is not being made. We are happy, we are content with the manner in which we are carrying out our lives. So it is important, imperative. That is why we are having this majalis, especially for the speaker, for myself. Allah make my islah. Allah protect us from gunas. The moment we sin, we move slightly, like the needle of the compass, not facing north. It is restless, it is shaking, until you put the compass back towards the north, then it is stable, then it is settled, this is sukoon. If you want that sukoon, it's not by committing gunas. Sukoon a person will only get after applying that mujahada against his nafs. And like how a naughty little child, a baby, is growing, and you tell that, you have to warn the child. For example, the child is going to put his finger in the socket, he's going to get a shock. You worried, you love that child. So you told the child is still not listening, until finally you frighten the child.
What is the fire? What do you tell? Ha, ha. The child looks at you and say, ha, ha, after that. The child knows now he must not go. So you have to warn, you have to instill some fear. This is what we have to do. Instill some fear onto our nafs. Make our nafs afraid of that guna. Make our nafs afraid. Don't make it be so happy to go towards that guna. And so easily it goes to that guna. And so easily it is attracted to the guna. So we have to apply that brakes. We have to apply that mujahada. That is the whole aspect of tazkiyah. And tazkiyah, not one day you went to some person and you went and he made your ilaj and rest of your life now you became Bayazid Bustami Ramazul Ali. It's a lifelong struggle. Kabhi wo daba de, kabhi tu daba de. Nafs ke saath kushti hai. It is a wrestling match. Sometimes the nafs is ghalib over you and it pins you down. Sometimes you have the strength and you pin the nafs down. So this is the Umar Bar. Entire life kushti. It is this wrestling match. And Allah Ta'ala is so kind. Allah is so loving. Allah is so compassionate. Especially in these difficult times. A little bit effort you make and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala pours His mercy upon us. In the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which we discussed previously, when a person comes one handspan towards Allah, Allah comes a whole or two handspans closer to Him. One shibr, you come closer to Allah, Allah comes one whole hand towards closer to you. When you come to Allah walking, Allah comes to you running. Ulama explained that. What that ulama say? That if you take the steps towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the correct way, you want your islah to take place, you want to reform yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not burden you to take many steps towards Him. A few steps only, and Allah will pour His mercy upon you. سَبَبْتُ عَلَيْهِ رَحْمَتِي وَلَمْ أُحَوِّجْهُ بِمَشٍ كَثِيرٍ. The ulama explained, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains what is meant, that I won't make him have to take many, many steps to reach me. A few steps, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will pour my mercy upon him. I will guide him. I will give him tawfiq of doing good. If he sins, I will give him tawfiq of making tawbat al-nasuha. And that is our effort that we have to do to make this tawbat al-nasuha. Last week I mentioned, rona dona. You have to cry and cleanse and purify our hearts. Rona dona, rona dona. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala is so kind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us and we will see the difference in our lives. The moment we take those two bold steps. Number one, I've got to go to the doctor. Number two, I have to implement exactly what he tells me to do. May Allah find us the true guide and Allah help us to make our islah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.